Good evening and welcome to Hot Topics from the Soul. I'm your host, Dr. Valerie Hagen, and I am delighted to be here another Tuesday. We are celebrating the women this month, and I have with me my co-host.
Well, good evening. What a great month this is. It is our national, really, Women History Month, even internationally. And I have the privilege of sharing this stage with a great woman who has made history and continue to make history every week in yourself. And as always, you have never been a person who have kept glory or kept anything for yourself. It was always part of your mission and platform to make sure that you included others and that you reach back and acknowledge others. And I greatly appreciate you for doing what you always do.
Oh, thank you. So unexpected. Wow. I love you, Dr. J.
Love you. Much love, right?
Love you. Thank you.
So, you know, so we're excited because of the fact, you know, if we all be honest in this country, you know, there's an old song that said it's a man's world, but it wouldn't be nothing without a woman or a girl. There is no greater statement that has been made other than the fact I would say that definitely if the man is ahead, the woman is definitely the neck. And when we look at our lives, when we look at our society, when we look at the history of this country, of this world, we understand the importance of women, women's contribution, women who have overcome so much in order to have what they have. And that's the thing about women. Women are resilient. And when we meet resilient women, when we meet women that against all odds, they press their way, we have to recognize them. For every son, they ought to recognize the women in their life. For every son, we ought to recognize the queen in our lives. For every daughter, she ought to look at herself in the mirror and say that not only am I somebody, but I have value, I have worth. And I quite frankly believe this. I believe that for me, there's no way that I could have been who I am today without the amazing women in my life, started with my dear mother, my sisters, the women in ministry that have made me, and of course, people like yourself, my colleague and friend, which we've known each other 30 years, and so many. And I love this segment tonight because we get a chance to not only hear stories of like I like to say, of women that are making a difference who have turned pain into power. Now, full disclosure, that terminology I first heard used by you several years ago when you were on a radio show with the late Dr. Philip.
Charles Phillips.
That's right. Charles Phillips and turning pain into power. And I looked at it because you were the epitome of that. You turned pain into power, power into purpose, and the rest is history. And that's kind of like I guess tonight as well. She's turned her pain into power and to purpose. And once again, women do it. You got to give it to you. Women rule the world in the sense of the fact through their resiliency, through their dedication, through their commitment, through their intuition, literally, God gave women a sixth sense. Now, I know, folks, all the guys going to stone me, but the only thing I'm doing is confessing what we all know, guys, right? Come on, we know that when a woman said, I had a feeling, or when a woman said, something told me, hey, it's all over, game over, because that's something is that sixth sense that God have given her, and that sixth sense have been important inside of making inroads. So with that in mind, you know, Dr. Val, we have an incredible guest here tonight who have turned pain into power and power into purpose, and definitely represent courage. You know, that's your word. You know, no one says courage like you do. Mm-hmm. When you talk about courage, because you've lived it. You know what it is to look in the face of adversity and push on. You know what it is to look at when people are trying to give you limitations and you push on. You have been the epitome of that. And when we see that happening with women, we have to give them that prop. So, you know, with that being said, you know, we have a guest tonight, actually Dr. Caroline Hill, who has been that type of a person. She's turned her pain into power and power into purpose, and it caused her to birth something. It caused her to birth something, and that's what pain does. Pain ought to birth something.
Yeah.
None of us came into this world. None of us came into this world through a woman without there having been pain before there was purpose birth. And I love that today. And Dr. Caroline Hill, who is the president and the CEO of Triple H Ministries, we welcome her tonight because of the fact she has that type of tremendous story. Good evening, Dr. Hill.
Good evening, Dr. Hill. So glad to have you. Can't wait to hear more about all the amazing things that you've done and the lives that you've transformed.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. It has been a journey.
Yeah. So definitely. Caroline, I mean, it is interesting, like so many women I said before, oftentimes encounter adversity, encounter things in life. Women are, first of all, in their purest form, guys, you're going to love this. I'm giving you a free seminar right now. You know, women in their purest form are very sweet people. They're very inviting people. When we generally see women become bitter is after they've had a series of negative experiences that have tried to rob them of their dignity, that have tried to rob them of their sanity, that have tried to rob them of their peace of mind. And not that that's the only alternative is to turn bitter, but oftentimes because of repeated offenses, if you would, they do become bitter. But through yours, and I want you to definitely have a little time to share a little bit of your story. You know, you made the turn because being bitter initially is not necessarily far-fetched. Is part of that journey. But the thing about it is not to remain bitter, not to remain there, not to remain entrenched, because you don't want to give someone that much power over you. And I kind of characterize you as saying that when I think about you and your story, it's like you made a declaration, I'm not dying now. You know, you can't.
Ooh, right. That's right.
You know,
that's
you powerful. Know, you know, I've got to rise again. So I want to take it from there because It is the epitome of many great women in their story that they overcome. And that's exactly what you did. So please share with the Hot Topic from the Soul audience that part of your story.
I tell you, it has been a journey. It's still a journey. I am the seventh of eight children. And, you know, as kids, four boys and four girls, you have to fight your way through. And I had to fight my way through, you know. My mother was abused by my father. And I always told myself I would not never allow that to happen to me. But unfortunately, I fell into it. I fell into it with my first husband, was married to him for 13 years. The mental abuse, the physical abuse, being dragged, beat, black eyes, whatever, still went to work. You know, and I was a person that I didn't allow my family to get in the midst of it because I did not want it to turn out another way. Because my kids still needed a father and I needed my family at the end of the day. So I hid the black eyes. I still went to work. I kept everything inward. And like you said, Dr. Thickman, it will make you bitter. You know, when a man tell you you are less than a woman, when he try to take your dignity from you and your self-esteem and make you feel like no other man will want you, so you stay with him just because, I tell you, that is hard to get away from once he program you into who he wants you to be.
Right.
Because then we are programming. Because I always said to myself, I would never allow a man to change my mindset. But along that way of those years of being mad to him, it happened. It happened because I wanted to become who he wanted me to become. And, you know, when I made up my mind to leave him and divorce him, it wasn't easy. It wasn't easy. I had to find hotels. I had to move with other people because I had to run for my life. You know, he tried to kill me on several occasions. Wow. He used to come to my office where I used to work, come through the door, lock himself in my room, and threatened to kill me. So I know what fear is. He put fear in me. And all those years being married to him, I was fearful. I was fearful. I was scared. I didn't know what I was going to wake up or not. So many days, even though I had to be separated, I had to sleep with a knife up under my pillow. Or some nights, I didn't sleep at all. I didn't sleep at all. And I lost my hair. I gained weight. I was looking like a very old lady. So I was going through mentally and physically. And honestly, no one can really help you. They can say they can. They can give you all the encouragement and you should leave them. You should do this. But you know what? Until they walk your shoes,
yes,
they don't understand. And when I decide to leave him and try to do all of this, you're there by yourself. Because no one's there at 12 or 1 o'clock in the morning. you know, when he's banging on the window trying to get through the door. And when you call 911, they come when they want to come. And he's gone by the time they get there. So, you know, it was a hard journey to leave that marriage, but I finally did. And it took me 3 years between the divorce and just getting free from him. And God kept him away from me for at least 5 years so I can get me right, so I can get my strength, my power right. Because he took all that from me.
Yes.
He took everything from me. I felt like I was nothing. Felt like I was nothing. You know, I had three kids, and they saw all that abuse. You know, they saw all that abuse. They went into, you know, start being rebellious. My daughter closed up, never came out of room, and all of this. So, you know, one day on my way home from work, because he even took my car.
Wow.
I walked. Okay, I walked. So it got that bad. We were walking home from one day from work, and she coming from school, and she said, "Mom, you should have been left daddy." And I was like, you know, what you mean? Because I was thinking in my mind, staying with him, because they need a father figure. Yes. So
I see you, Dr. Val. You're literally, it's almost like, boy, don't I know that story so well.
Yes.
And so many people that are listening right now, this is exactly what happened. For people who actually stand on the outside looking at you and they say, well, why don't you just leave? Why don't you just go? And everything like, what's wrong with her? Sometimes they don't understand all the things that you're considering. Hey, I don't want my kids to be without their father. I don't want a broken family, you know, and you're thinking that you're hanging in there for the kids. And then you get this epiphany from the kid that says,
from the daughter, yes.
You're gonna be left, and you go, what?
Yes.
So what? I was literally secretly part of the reason I'm here because I thought
that was the right thing to do. I thought it was best, you know. I thought it was best, and I hung in there because I did not want them to go through what I went through as a child, seeing the abuse, and then my mom and my dad divorcing. You know, once we became in high school or whatever, and I know the effect that it had on me and my baby brother. We was the last 2 out of 8 kids that was left in the home. So, and I did not want them to go through that, but yet still, they went through it.
Absolutely,
they went through it. And, you know, I continue to blame myself for that. But, girl, why you ain't get out earlier? You know, you could have got out 5 years or 3 years within a marriage, but you stayed in it. And at times, you know, I used to hate myself in a sense because I stayed in it. And now my kids was being affected and had their own issues, you know. And I had to just forgive me first. I had to forgive myself for staying in it so long. And then I had to ask my kids to forgive me because they went through what I went through. When they seen the abuse they went through, and one of the times where he threw me on the ground and drove me through the house, and my oldest son got between us and said, "Daddy, stop, don't hit her no more. Don't hit her no more." And, you know, I was continuing to relive that and relive that. And, you know, my kids was affected by that. They was affected by all that pain.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
They was affected by that pain. And I didn't know how much they was affected until as they started to grow up even more. And began, my oldest son had that rage and anger. You know, I was wondering, where did it come from? But it stemmed from that. So as, you know, going through all that, got through that divorce, you know, just me and my kids, raising them. And, you know, I thought I never owned a home. I was in housing, but, you know, I was a go-getter. Always was a fighter. Always was a fighter. And that's why I say I can't believe how I allowed myself to get into that.
Well, that's why you stayed long as you did, because it was building up your resilience.
Yes.
So that you will be able to endure the next phase of great, what God had for you.
Yes.
That greatness.
Yes. And, you know, being
sometimes you have to lose in order to gain.
In order to gain.
And sometimes it's not as easy to gain those things as some people may think. So you stayed there because it was a process. While you were in the midst of it, you were being downloaded information and strength and power for the next phase.
Yes, that is so true. And, you know, going through that phase of, you know, rebuilding myself to allow the Lord to make me who I am, allowed me to recognize who I was in him, because it was nobody but his strength who carried me through. Because if I did not have the Lord in my life, I don't know where I would be now. I mean, at times I thought I was going to lose my mind, you know, suicide thoughts, all that stuff came along that journey. But thank God for Jesus. He kept me strong in the midst of it. I tell you, he kept me strong. And through all of that, I got married again. And I tell you, everything seemed fine in the beginning. Then maybe down the years, you know what? the mental abuse came, not the physical, because I said, now no other man will put their hands on me because I will have to do what I have to do to save me.
They've been drawing back a nub, right? Okay.
Yes, not just a nub. So the mental abuse started coming and all of that. And as my kids was, you know, I had a daughter in college, you know, my two sons, they was in middle school or high school. And, you know, just being a single parent and the job that I worked at before, I was already trying to help HIV individuals, mental health, substance abuse, and domestic women. So, you know, the drive, it made me want to push even more. And so I decided to get out of that marriage and just been a single mom and just wanted to encourage my kids. And I always told my daughter, and she's my only child, my only daughter, I said, look, don't ever let a man put his hands on you or mentally say something to you that's going to make you have a bike set. I said, you're powerful, you're wonderful, you're smart, and you are intelligent. Never let anyone take that from you. Never. And in the midst of going through that second marriage, God gave me a vision to open up my own business when my other job went folded. I tell you, when you have money saved and you don't even know why God's allowing you to save what you're saving, not touch it, that job went down. And I say, well, Lord, I don't have a job. I'm the only one working. I got to do it in college, you know. And I worked at this treatment center for 5 years while building my own organization with no income coming in, no grants, no anything.
And I know it well.
Yes, Lord. And I used to do per diem at a treatment center, go home, shower, open up Triple H Ministries 8 o'clock in the morning. I was faithful for that for 5 straight years.
So what is Triple H Ministries?
It stands for Heart Health and Healing Ministries. It deals with individuals on a holistic scale, mind, body, and spirit. And it allow individuals to get spiritual counseling. Anyone who's HIV infected, we do HIV testing, STI testing. We refer also do mental health counseling. We do food pantries, clothing, different social services, you know, help them apply for insurance, Medicaid, food stamps, and we put them in shelter and help individuals find a place to stay. So we deal with everybody on a holistic scale.
Okay, so when you talk about mental health, because a lot of individuals, especially women that are listening now, they're single parents, they're going through mentally trying to figure it out. You know, we're emotional beings and we try to move strategically,
yes,
doing situations, because it's not just us. As a parent, we have baggage. Men could just walk away and not even care, but women have to stay and take on the brunt of the responsibilities because we have the care for someone else. So how do you deal with someone or minister or empower someone that is going through right now trying to figure it out?
Well, I let an individual know, first, pray. Pray and talk to God and be real with themselves. So sometimes we got to be true to ourselves and recognize what's going on with us mentally. Because, you know, sometimes we can fade away. We can have every excuse what's going on with us. But mentally, you have to be truthful to yourself and say, this is what's going on. This is what's going on with me. Now, how can I help myself? Sometimes you got to find someone to talk to that you can trust. And sometimes you just got to just be able to let it out. If it's a scream, if it's a cry, whatever it takes for you to be released from that situation, you have to do it. I encourage women, you know, don't give up. It may be hard and you may need that mental break sometime, but you got to stand fast. You have to stand fast and true to yourself and true to your faith. Because at times, mentally, you want to zone out, you want to clock out. But when you have children, and like you said, we never off duty. We work 24/7 and we need that break. So sometimes you have to have someone, that grandparent or that auntie or that best friend, to watch the kids for a minute. And like what I do, I go sit on the water and just talk to God just to get a release. You have to get that release. Talk to somebody if you don't find time that you can't go to the water, but just find someone that you can trust and be able to vent to. And baby, see, sometimes individuals are the sounding board. And sometimes when you talk so much, you'll be able to understand what's going on with yourself.
You know, women sometimes are messy. So when you're going through a situation, you know, it's hard to find a confidant, someone that you can confide in without them telling your business and say, girl, look, you know, with such and such and such. So, you know, and I do agree that you need to communicate and get it out. But when I went through a domestic violence situation for 19 years. So I was isolated. I didn't want to tell anyone because I was embarrassed, number one, because of who I was supposed to be. And because I didn't want my family to know what was going on. So I kept it silent for 17 out of the 19 years I was married. So, you know, trying to make your way through it, because there's a lot of people that are not in the church or have just, you know, angry at God they've done all they could do being faithful. And they said, God hasn't shown up. You know, where is he? I've been waiting. I've been standing and he has not showed up. I felt like that. I mean, I was serving the Lord, had been a Christian, you know, my whole adult life. And I'm being abused and wind up being homeless and all this is going on. And I'm like, God, where are you? And, you know, but some people don't know to put their trust and faith in him, regardless of what it looks like, what it feels like, because sometimes folks act funny.
That's true.
You have to be able to stand against the odds, as my dear friend Shirley Carter Powell would say. You know, we have to move against all odds, because one of the things about a woman is, like you said, Dr. Carolyn, that we are resilient creatures.
Yes, we are. We are
resilient. We're protectors.
Yes,
and it is our natural nature to love.
Yes.
So, but even then, we go through mental issues because we are emotional beings.
Yes.
And so, would you recommend to someone that doesn't have anybody to talk to, don't have no transportation to get to a beach? The beach is like the best place to go. You know, my daughter loves going there just to check out. But there's sometimes, you know, there's no beach. Would you recommend journaling or what?
I would say journaling, yes, because I used to journal. I used to journal, and you get it out. And, you know, I have a journal now, like, for 15 years now. Sometimes it's best to journal and, you know, go back and read it. And, you know, let it sit there for some days or weeks and then go back and read it and see where you're not anymore. You know, journaling is good. You know, when I was homeless with three kids, I tell you, it was rough. It was rough. So, you know, I can talk to them about my issues and let them know we was homeless. So I had, only best thing I had was to journal, to write. And just, you know, just speak it out to myself sometimes. You know, and then, you know, I tell individuals, I'm always here to call, to have that one-on-one. You know, and so many individuals call me or just stop by and say, I need to talk. And I say, come on in. And God make it okay for them to come, because no one comes up to the office, no one calls, and we have that time. All that, it may be 30 minutes to an hour, and they'd be able to get it all out of their system and be able to feel much better than where they came in. And I always encourage them that, you know what, you are more than a conqueror. And we have to know that. And sometimes we get beaten down every day with society, but you know what, that resilience in you will make you push forward, because it made me push forward. You know, being homeless with the kids and not knowing, okay, where we're going to stay here or tomorrow. But you know what? I said, no. I used to walk from West Palm to Riviera Beach every day with a stroller and my kids in it. No transportation. First time I ever got a car, I was maybe 25 years old, close to 30. So walking, was no, I don't remember, was the Pontran right then in the late 80s, early 90s that I can remember.
It was.
Okay, well, I didn't know. So, you know, knowing of the different, you know, social services back then, I didn't know, you know, where to go, because no one would have told you.
Right.
So you just either dealt with it and did what you had to do. So, you know, I was a person that I just didn't give up. And I'm like that now. I don't take no for an answer. And I would never say I can't do it, because I can do anything that Christ allowed me to do. You know, I pray about everything. I said, but Lord, if I need this, I said, you're going to supply that for me. So we just have to encourage one another that we can do all things through Christ Jesus.
You know, I listen, there's so much similarities as you both are sharing parts of your story. And one thing that's interesting, because I know both your background being Christians and all of that, is that even in the midst of it, let me ask this question, because I have seen this happen oftentimes in dealing with it. Some colleagues of mine, Dr. Sharon Ellis Davis and Dr. LaDonna Combs up in Michigan, when we co-labored on the curriculum, speaking of faith, domestic violence program in the African-American community, one of the things that was written inside of it, and I think it was Dr. Sharon Davis Ellis, Ellis Davis, who wrote this part. Well, she talked about the fact of when there's a crisis that is happening with you as women, especially women that are spiritual women, there's not just a crisis as far as the physical abuse and all that trauma, but there's also a crisis oftentimes in your faith, where you find yourself really questioning God.
That's true.
Yourself saying, God, I mean, is this the case? I want to find out, because I've seen it inside of dealing with people, that sometimes, and this is good for someone, because someone, they're feeling this sense of guilt, they're going through, and they say, well, I shouldn't feel this way because I'm a Christian. But how often, how big of a role, should I say, did the fact of having your own theological battles about what was right or what was wrong, what big a part did it play in, number one, in you remaining in the marriage? Because of fact, a lot of times we as Christians, we remain in marriages and stuff because we say God hates divorce and God, then how it's going to look and all that thing. Do we stay in it? I mean, what big a role did even your theology, your belief have in the fact of really calls to the conflict in whether or not I go or whether or not I stay.
Right. You know, with my faith, it wasn't as strong as it is now, but I still know the word. And the word, say God hates divorce. So being a Christian woman, you want to stay in the marriage to make it work and say, okay, Lord, can you fix him? I'm going to let you do this. Just give me the patience and endurance to do that and while you work this out. So I did not, want a divorce because of being a Christian woman and wanting to stay married to, you know. And because it says in the word that if you marry to an unsaved man, if he chooses to stay, allow him to stay, and God can sanctify your home. So, and that's, I was going on what the word says, but I also was saying, well, Lord, why you allow me to go through this? How long are you going to let me go through this? Am I going to be able to come through as white as snow, or will this man kill me being married to him and being a Christian? So I had a battle with God, you know, and sometimes I was angry. I was disappointed. And along the journey, I lost faith. I lost faith at certain times of it when it really got dangerous. I lost faith. I said, well, Lord, if I serve you, I do all that I can do. I pay my tithes and my offering. I serve you. I evangelize. I do whatever you tell me to do. But I'm still going through. I'm still struggling. And I struggled with my faith for a very long time because I said, well, if you're saved and you're living for the Lord, you should not be going through these things. So I had to learn to say, okay, Lord, you got to give me patience. Because if you don't give me patience, something's going to happen. I'm going to walk out. I'm going to just walk away from the church as well. But, you know, you just have to find your peace. You have to find your peace.
Yeah, it is interesting because oftentimes scriptures quoted and read in the comfort of you doing well definitely take on a different purview when you're in the midst of a storm. Inside of that. And so one of the things that I've found out to be is that this, and this is one thing that I'm writing about even now, when we start talking about the grace of God and what does that really mean inside of thing, that oftentimes, if we're not careful, we'll turn the word of God into legalism. It turns into a law of legalism.
Yes.
And that legalism binds people into things that God himself said that I want to free you up. So whom the Son makes free is free indeed. Mm. You know, one of the favorite scriptures that people talk about, woman, thou art loose. Well, guess what? Being bound in an unhealthy marriage, being bound in an abusive marriage, being bound in those type things there. And a lot of times we try to hang on. But I do believe this. There is no temptation that has taken us, but that which is common to man is the part. But with every temptation, God has made a way of escape.
Hey, yes, he did.
We be able to bear it. And sometimes I think that we miss our way of escape because of the fact of the, and we mean well. One of the greatest things that we often deal with even clergy and believers is the fact of, you know, when a person is being abused, when a person is being abused in that sense, should they stay or should they go? And I have to look at the fact of really not the letter of the law, but the spirit of the word. You got me? There's nothing about that that says love. So all of this built resilience in you. All of this built the sense inside of you. At some point, the light bulb, I call the revelation, comes.
Same,
and you
recognize, yes.
I'm not in this for no reason. You know, there's some stuff that you've learned. And You know, as you told your story, you talk about the time that you worked for the other agency. You was doing HIV work, and you became very passionate about that work and doing those things. And and it's almost like God had you in school.
Yes.
Yeah, it's like, and I think that sometimes we have to look at what we're going through as being in school. You know, Dr. Val, when I think about that, because oftentimes we say that God is testing us. So if we want to believe that connotation, then guess what? The only reason I take a test is to prove what I know. It's just to prove what I know, prove what I learned. Yes. But I like to say God is proving us. Because he already knows what we are capable of. So he proves us. And so on the other side of it, we're the one who said, wow, I would have never thought I could come through this. Look what I've come through. And that's fueled you. You have Triple H Ministries. And as I think of it, you know, Triple H Ministry, we talk about us being triune being, a spirit, soul, and body. Mm-hmm. And something that I think, Dr. Val, you said a few minutes ago, you talked about the fact of what happens inside of a person when they're going through the damage to your soul.
Yes.
The damage to your emotion, you know, the seat of your reflective consciousness, the damage to that can be very, it can be very, if you would, not only traumatic, but it can reach what we call transgenerational and transgenerational trauma. However, once again, it is what we do with what we go through that will determine whether we are bitter or better. So your road to your better births something. It births something here. So this desire to help hurting women, the desire to help women that was abused, and particularly, I know you help men as well, inside of the work that you do with HIV and not only the testing, but the STI, subjects that oftentimes that we're embarrassed, we don't want to talk about. But the reality is, it is a reality for many. Guess what? Just like drugs could, you know, the drug of choice could be alcohol, the drug of choice could be sex, the drug of choice could be, it could be a myriad of things. However, inside of what you're serving, you meet people that are broken. You meet people that are going through. You meet people who oftentimes are running from things. Inside of, in what way do you think with what you went through, how did that now contribute? How did that eventually contribute to your ability to do what you do with Triple H?
My past through the abuse and mental health through my exes, it has allowed me to be a positive impact on the women that comes through now. You know, I have maybe over 300 women over the last almost 10 years, over 300 women that comes through the organization that I'm able to be a witness that God can deliver them. I can be a witness that they don't have to go back to their abuser. I can be a witness that they can be empowered and they did not have to stand down. They can always stand up. So I'll be that witness to them and tell them my story. And they look at me and say, so you do understand? And I say, yes, I understand because I've been there. But look where I am at now. Look what God has done for me. I'm not where I used to be. I'm not that weak woman that I once was. Now I am strong. And you can be strong as well. So I try to have women come together as a support group at times that we can talk, we can vent, and we can empower each other. Because I tell them, I say, no matter where you at now, you don't have to be there tomorrow. You don't have to be there tomorrow.
You know, Tasha Cobbs, Leonard sings this song, and in the song talks about being gracefully broken.
Oh, yes, powerful song.
And, you know, it is just so timely. When I hear that, I was like, you know, God, when you're going through the situation, it seems like you will never, ever come out. Mm-hmm. But then when I look back, it was being gracefully broken. Because, see, you know, like when you, like peeling an orange, when you bust that orange or some of the juices spew out and that fresh savor or fragrance comes out of there. And that's how it is when we're going through that refiner's fire, being tried on every hand and not seeing what the end will be, but trusting and knowing that we're still moving and we're still walking and we're still pressing through because of the fact that we believe that a better day is coming.
Yes.
So, and once that better day comes, then when that fresh fragrance bursts through, God is like, I can trust you because you have this sticking power. I can trust you because you're going to tell somebody about my goodness. You're going to tell somebody about the grace I gave you going through the midst of the storm. And, you know, the ladies that are listening, even men, because men go
men through, as well.
Men go through because of the fact that they have mothers that have raised them. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I just want to say to the ladies that may be going through a situation right now, it's okay. And tomorrow is going to be a better day than yesterday. Mm-hmm. And yesterday is a better day today because you're in it. But if you just keep on pressing and walking that line, because a lot of times when you're in the midst of a situation, you don't know what your purpose is. You don't know what your goal is. You find your purpose accidentally when you're going through a fire.
Yes.
And once you find your footing of where you're supposed to be, then everything will make sense and everything will come together for you, because it is the gift and the purpose and the destiny that God had for you. You just had to go through a process. Yes. I mean, mm-hmm. I don't find anywhere from Genesis to Revelations where somebody that was blessed more and abundantly from God didn't go through something.
Amen.
There is a journey that you mm-hmm. have to go through to prove that you can be trusted with what he wants to give you. So if you're going through right now, know that tomorrow is a better day.
Better day.
It's a better day. And you have children that you're looking after. God blessed you with the children because they have a purpose too. And he's entrusted you to look after them and take care of them. And know that whatever you're going through, that you're bigger than that process that you're going through, because of the fact that you are meant to empower somebody else. Our journey, our pain is never all about us. Mm-hmm. We take on that brunt and that responsibility and think that that pain is just about us. Mm-hmm. But no, it's what God wants to do through you. It's what God wants to use you for, to touch so many more lives mm-hmm. that are waiting there just for you to come out to the other side. So don't stop. Don't stop. You're walking through hell. Don't stop. Keep walking, because the spring of cool water is coming down. Don't stop. Keep pressing through. That man is getting on your nerve. Keep walking. Keep pressing. Find in yourself. You know, our wealth is based on our ability to think. So amen. Stop talking and, you know, acting all unwomanly and sit down, be quiet and think. Sometimes we just talk too much. Just sit down and think, because God will speak and drop a nugget in you. And those that are you that are not believers that don't believe in God because of all the hell you go through, I've been there, done that. But trust me, there is a power greater than yourself. And you need to believe in that power that is greater than yourself. The King of Kings and the Lord is Lord, because when you got him, you got more than enough.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, I almost want to pass an offering plate because the fact that was so rich inside of what you're saying. And the reality is that inside of every situation, I'm listening to both of you, you both came to the end of yourselves. You had to come to the end of yourself. Mm-hmm. Your own self-reliance, you came to the end of your own logic. You had to come to the end of it, because there's nothing more humiliating. There's nothing more painful than when you endure something and you continue to tell yourself, man, this shouldn't be happening to me. This ain't me. And so all of a sudden, a situation that you really have no control over at that moment becomes something that overwhelms you. And so the embarrassment of it just kind of pushes you down. But the reality that we must come to is that when I get to the end of myself and really be able to say, look here, this is still in your hand. This is out of my hand at this point in time. Lead, guide, direct me, because I do believe that's when the door opens. Mm-hmm. It is in our weakness that his strength is made perfect.
Mm.
What we're uncomfortable is the fact that when we have become accustomed to always having the answers, when we have been accustomed always to be able to, and it happens.
Mm.
Not only does that happen to women, it happened with men. The part of brokenness is so, it is such a necessary place. It's necessary. For me, times when I feel really broken, it's also the time that God reveals to me, you're not so smart. because everyone have always said he's so smart. And I believed it. He's so smart. And guess what? I've been so smart. But there are some things that happens that I realize no degree of intelligence, no degree of academia, no degree of none of that can get you out of. And so what you understand now that you've got to come to the end of yourself and to you willing to come to the end of yourself, you can't even step into that next chapter. You're not even worthy or ready for that next chapter. And so when you came to the end of yourself, in this case, I mean, what was really ready for you? You were being prepared for something you didn't know you was even being prepared for. Yeah, I mean, all of a sudden you get a discipline to save money. You know, that's a real anointing there. Okay. You get a discipline to save money. Don't know what you're saving for. And then here it is. All of it begins to become revealed to you.
Hmm. Yes.
It becomes revealed to you. And I'm going to tell you why this is so important, I believe, because, you know, many times, even when we come into the revelation of things, we'll do. It's like taking medicine. You know, when we're sick, we'll take the medicine until we do what? Feel better.
Feel better.
We never complete the whole prescription. They said take it. No, do it until we feel better. And sometimes with what we go through, we will do it and we will adhere to even prayer, rituals, read scripture, whatever. We will adhere to it until we feel better. Yeah. But there are things that God, I believe, tries to sign, seal, and deliver inside of us that goes beyond whether I feel better, whether I feel down, whether I feel up. And I think that is the part that pushes us. And that's what pushes, I think, a lot of women, especially because women know what it is. You know, when the scriptures talks about the fact that when Zion travailed, she shall break forth. They talk about when a woman is going through childbirth, you know, she's going through all this pain, but once the baby is delivered, she remembers it no more.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. When that thing has been birthed, when that vision has been birthed, when that purpose has been birthed, when that has been birthed, let me all the stuff that you have gone through, listen, instead of being what was once a stumbling block or an obstacle, become a platform that you now stand on. And you said, look at me, because I'm quite sure now you pass by the palm tree. You go, hey, you know, you're there anymore, right?
Don't need that anymore. I'm driving.
When you're walking, you didn't even notice it. And so, you know, the part about it, and I continue to think about it, you know, this forced you or this propelled you or catapulted you into starting this nonprofit, Triple H. Anytime it's one thing to double down, it's another thing to triple down, okay?
You know,
a threefold cord is not easily broken. And so inside of it, I do believe that you starting what you did was also a reflection. It was a reflection and a portrait of what you had gone through. It was a portrait and a reflection of what you had endured. And so now what you recognize, it wasn't just a physical abuse that you needed to get out of. It was also the spiritual component. That's why the holistic part came in. Mm-hmm. That, man, people need healing inside. Because oftentimes, long after you've left and no longer in the physical abuse, the emotional, mental part is just killing you. You're still, you know, it's like Groundhog Day. You still relive it. But when this thing happens and you go through the healing, and that's the part there, because you know what? Just because to stop hurting don't mean that we heal.
Mm-hmm.
The healing is the process.
Mm-hmm.
And so when that process begins to take place, and after that scab have come on and thing, and after it begins to heal and really get healed, that's when you stand on your victory and say, listen, look, I'm not the same anymore. And God bless you, because the fact that is what you're doing with Triple H Ministries, the people that you serve with HIV. And let me ask you that question too, because oftentimes with believers and church people, we have a real kind of, I like to call a real weird, if you would, theology as it relates to perhaps people who may contract HIV. We just assume that it's all because of promiscuity. We just assume that it's all because of those things when it is a number of reasons why a person can contract HIV, AIDS. And it's funny. It's interesting. We act as if they just went out there and said, let me contract it.
Right.
To the untrustworthiness, the unfaithfulness of the person they was with.
Mm-hmm.
Other times it's due to, you know, being an abuse. I mean, sexual assault and sexual abuse is a big part of this thing, too. But the part I think that is so important is that we get caught on the fact of feeling like if we offer help to people to try to protect them and to help them, that somehow or another we're condoning them to go out and do it.
No.
Speak to that part, because there are people that have suffered in silence and there are people that have literally died in their embarrassment. You know, they got sick, or if they finally did go get tested, the shame and embarrassment are there. And I want you to speak to that, but also speak to the things that are now developed now, things like PrEP. And what does that mean? How that's a game changer. And I'll be quiet after this, because I was one of those people in the 80s, 1983 it was, that I became aware. Of course, we knew AIDS, and we hadn't even called it HIV.
HIV then. Mm-hmm.
And it was amazing that here I was, this young guy, I'll just put it this way, I was, you know, kind of like, you know, coming out of teenage into, you know, the other part. You know, and I was working at the hospital, and I was also going to school, but I saw this thing that said there was going to be this workshop that's going to be offered at the hospital about this thing, AIDS. And for whatever reason, it intrigued me. I was the only non-medical clinical person attending this thing. But it was as exhaustive as it could be at the time that we knew about AIDS. And I knew right then something inside of me said to me, this is going to be an issue that the church is going to have to address. Mm-hmm. Well, if you remember, the church addressed it. All right, boy, we just bombarded it. We blasted everybody. This is God's judgment. Everybody go to hell. And you go to hell. And you go to hell. And yeah. You go to hell. It became mm-hmm. that type of thing. And then it's almost as if there was this announcement, and all of a sudden, God went from speaking up. God went to resting upon people, and they went from just throwing everybody into hell to thinking about grace, the grace of God inside of this. How do we help? How do we heal people? Because you think about it: if you're infirm, if you're sick, do we just condemn everybody to the grave because they're sick? No. We look for the grace of healing. So, you know, kind of give us that journey there of how this have, I mean, because you've had to deal with all of it inside of it, and how that reflective experience was.
One thing about HIV and AIDS, like you said, in the early 80s, they was dying. They didn't have the name HIV. It just was AIDS. Mm-hmm. And as time progressed, at that time, they was only giving out AZT. And AZT mm-hmm. was killing African-Americans, but it was helping the Caucasians. So they didn't know that at the time.
Exactly.
But the ones that did not take the AZT, they still living longer today for the ones that took care of themselves. But when HIV started, you know, it was worldwide. Everybody was dying from it. They only had maybe a couple of days or a week life to it. But exactly. Now time has passed. Look, people don't get HIV because they go out there looking for it. It's an unfaithful partner, or mm-hmm. you know, the person they went out with, or in a relationship, and that person may not even know they was HIV positive because no one got tested. And I always tell individuals, yes, I'm saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. If you're in a relationship, get tested first. Get mm-hmm. tested, you and your partner, so you know if things come up, you already have a clean slate. You know what each other are. But if you don't get tested, you can't blame either or. Because no one knows who gave it to who. So always get tested. You know, we have individuals who never talk about I'm HIV positive because they're ashamed, because they don't want no one ridiculing them because they're in the church. Look, you don't go out there looking for HIV. So it comes to you. You know, you didn't ask for it. HIV has no name on it. So I encourage people who haven't gotten tested, who are scared because they may be infected, go to somebody, go to an organization and seek assistance. They have so much medication out there now that, you know what? People are living longer lives with HIV. You know, they can get hit by a bus and die quicker than die from HIV. You know, it's that good, better now, you know, and this society, because now they have such great medication, over 100 medications now. And people, years ago, you had to take 8, 9, 20 pills a day. Now it's down to 1 or 2 medications a day.
Exactly.
So wow. It's not like you have to take all these regimens all day. It's just 1 or 2 pills in the morning or at night. So time has passed where it has gotten better, but, you know, we still have to preach protection, you know, making sure that they stay safe and get HIV tested. I tell individuals, come get tested every 3 months. Don't wait for a year. Don't wait for a year and a half. Know your status today, because what you don't know will hurt you tomorrow. And you know it now, you save yourself tomorrow. So now we have PrEP. PrEP is a medication that prevents HIV. So you're in a relationship and an abusive relationship, and your mate may want to continue to have sex with you and beat you until you do. Get on PrEP. It protects you. So if you go out and have sex with other people, it protects you from HIV. Now, it don't protect you from STDs, but STDs can get cured. But one thing about HIV can be maintained and attained, but it cannot be cured. So the PrEP medication is Descovy. It's a small Tic Tac, and you just can, like a Tic Tac, very small. You take it in the morning, take it at night, and you take it faithfully. Yes, you can protect yourself from HIV. So it's no
reason. So do you have to take this every day?
Every day. Yes, every day. You take it every day because it stays in your body up to 10 hours. One pill stays in your body up to 10 hours.
So if you're in a relationship with someone that you're not trusting where they're laying sexually,
yes,
then you take that. So suppose you don't take it a day and then you take it the next day. Like, say, if you miss a day, do you have to continually take it for the rest of your life in relationship?
While you're in that relationship, you need to take it continuously until you leave that relationship. Because at any given time, one thing about HIV, it's more than one strain. We always think it's one strain of HIV, but it's more than one strain of HIV. And one strain is easily to be detected, and the other strain is very hard to be detected. It can linger in your body for up to 15 years or more, and it comes out when it desires to. But if you're in a relationship and you don't trust your partner, Descovy is the best pill for you to save you from contracting HIV. I mean, if you miss a day, we don't recommend that you miss a day. You know, every other day thing, but it need to be every day so it can build up in your system. It's just like antibiotics. You got to take it all. You know, you can't take some and just stop and think it's going to cure you. It fits you. But one thing about Descovy, it helps you. Only side effects is, and it comes to kidney. But if you drink a lot of water, if you get exercise, that's the only side effects that it has. But other than that, there's no side effects that would be detrimental to you, your life. But, you know, in any side effect, I prefer a side effect than living with HIV for the rest of my life. You know, I mean, but if you
know there was such a thing. So that was good enlightenment for me that you can actually take a pill to prevent you from getting HIV or some other. Okay. Wow.
Yes. And now, you know, if you can't afford it, it's free from Gilead. We have organizations that can sign you up for PrEP if you don't have insurance. If you have insurance and insurance don't want to pay for it, Gilead still would give it to you for free. So it's no reason why no one cannot protect themselves. It's no reason.
So what are the pills you got for people that are out there? I'm just like, I'm behind. what else is out there?
Well, PrEP is probably the newest one, right?
The newest one, yes. Descovy is the newest pill. It was Truvada, but Truvada had a lot of side effects, so they came up with the new pill. So now since they came up with the new one, it's less side effects. But, you know, we're getting more results as saying individuals who are using it, Descovy, and they protecting themselves. You know, I have had seen in certain occasions where one partner came up HIV positive, but the one that was taking the Descovy stayed negative. So they was in a relationship, so that protected that individual. And they don't have to worry about that HIV. So, you know, STDs, yes, but they can be cured.
So what's the difference between HIV and AIDS?
HIV is just like a virus. It's just like talking about the common cold or pneumonia. HIV is just like a virus. AIDS is acquired immunodeficiency syndrome. AIDS is when your immune system is 200 and below, your CD4 count, and that's your immune system. And it drops 200 and below, you consider to be an AIDS client. Now, if it's above 200, 250, 300 or more, you just HIV. So it's just the virus before the disease.
And honestly, now, this pill will not help someone that's on that.
If you're already HIV infected, no, it doesn't cure you from HIV. But the HIV medication that they have today, now it does make you undetectable. It's so good now that once you get your viral load under 20 to 50 copies, you know, it still shows up HIV, but you have a lower risk of passing it. Long as you take your medication every day and do what you need to do, you know, you have a better chance.
And you said it does not protect you from getting gonorrhea.
It doesn't protect you from gonorrhea, syphilis, chlamydia, trichomonas, all those hepatitis, herpes. It doesn't protect you from that.
Ooh, but, you know, glad I don't stay out on the market and stuff.
Wow, hey. There's a lot of stuff going on. There's a lot of stuff that's going on. And, you know, now they have the super gonorrhea, the super chlamydia. And, you know, they have to make sure once you get treated for it, you got to come back and get more screened and make sure you're cured from it. So it's a lot that's going on out there, but it's help out there.
Yeah. You know, and as you talked about that, you know, and Dr. Val, when we look now that there's a whole different world now from the 80s, when I talk about the 90s, I recall during the 80s working in the hospital, and particularly from 84 on working in a clinical lab. And I remember just even going up on the floor to visit patients and loved ones. I mean, it's like in no time, these people were gone. You mean it just was, you know, you would see that they drop weight and they're dead. And I remember we had a place locally called Connors Nursery, which existed because of babies that was born with AIDS and they died. But through the advancement research and all those things there's not a Connors Nursery. There's not a need for it to exist because of the fact we've learned a lot. So when we start talking about one pill a day, think about it. For those of us that take vitamin a day, why you take your multivitamin? You take it that way, an aspirin a day. And so what we're saying for so many people, their fear of being positive has prevented them from going to even get tested.
Yes.
Simply because you don't get tested, it don't make it go away. It's kind of like a person who's pregnant, right? You know, they go and get the test and they're pregnant, but they're in denial. They're pregnant. Well, being in denial is not going to make the baby go away. I mean, it's going to grow. And so it's the same thing about this. When you get tested, that's the time that the plan can be implemented inside of things. And I think the thing that is so important today, a lot of people look at Magic Johnson as being that, if you would, that poster person, because he's the most famous one. That when Magic Johnson came out and said that he was retiring from the NBA because he had HIV or whatever, I mean, you thought the world's going to end. And folks thought that surely he should be falling dead in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And guess what? He's still here. And I never forget, you know, people start saying, well, you know, he's got something that regular people can't get. Well, here's the thing about it, whether you believe that or not. We're in a day and time now that advancement has been made so that you don't have to die with it. You don't have to suffer with it. There's treatments there. And I say that to say this, that some people, they inhabit this problem. Once again, you don't go out looking for it. It was transmitted. You
didn't almost out of time.
Whatever. But here's the thing about it, though. It's almost like being forgiven in redemption. Because guess what? After you found out, here's the consequence that you're dealing with. But thank God that there is a balm in Gilead that's able to make a difference. And what am I saying? You don't throw the baby out with the bath water. He without sin cast the first stone. Because you have sinned, we're not going to stone you. There is a way of escape. And so through things like PrEP, you know, prophylaxis, you know, whatever that long word is for what it stands for, but also through the education part. And with that being said, our time
we're out of time. So I want Dr. Carolyn to leave some closing remarks and some empowerment to women since we're celebrating Women Empowerment Month.
We on tomorrow, we have the SOS Sisters Organizing to Survive, and we will be on streaming live for that event. I want to let every woman know, no matter black or brown or blue, you are the clay and Jesus is the potter. And he can remold you, reshape you, he will strengthen you when you fall weak. Don't you know when you're at your weakest, you're at your strongest. Don't you give up, you stand fast and hold still to your faith in God and know that you can do all things through Christ Jesus. So remember, when you fall weak, know, say, I am strong. I can do all things. And just know, love yourself if no one else does. Thank you.
That was absolutely powerful. And I thank you so much for sharing. I learned a lot by listening to you, and I commend you, and I send blessings your way. And those of you that are tuned in, you know, that have replayed the show, send it to somebody, you know, that you may know that's in trouble. Just send it to them to encourage them. And yeah, our website is triplehministries.com. We have the information there for you to go on her website and see all of the things that are available to empower you and inspire you. And there is no shame in help. You ask for help not because you're weak. You ask for help so you can stay strong.
Yes.
So hold on so that you can get to the next level. Your change is gonna come. I didn't think my change was coming, but God was faithful and brought me through it, and here I stand. So don't give up. And remember that you're being broken, but you're being broken gracefully.
Yes. Absolutely.
Yes.
Gracefully broken. And the best is still to come. We see we looking at ourselves and saying, well, this is it. There's nothing else, but there's so much more. So I want to thank you so much for tuning in and joining us, and invite you to come back with us for another Hot Topics from the Soul. Good night, and God bless.
Night.
God bless.
God bless.
God bless.